Mr. Holden, good morning to you.
Good morning.
What is on your mind from the world of the media today? Andrew Holden, a journalist for 30 years, including 5 as editor of The Press in Christchurch, 4 as editor-in-chief of The Age in Melbourne.
I wanted to look at Twitter wars prompted, we talked a little bit about it last week, but also prompted by the cricket, of all things, which I don't normally get to talk about, but we should celebrate a wonderful series win by the Black Caps in
a thrashing,
if you like. But out of it, those who follow the cricket will know that there was one English player, Ollie Robinson, who was in the first test but has been suspended since because they've been doing a bit of background looking at things he's tweeted over the years. And when he was a teenager, there are a couple of racist jibes and sexist material as well, which has then expanded into a whole range of cricketers and what they may have said or and how that could be interpreted. Where that matters to journalists is that in the hyper-partisan world of politics and media in Australia at the moment, yet again the ABC's been under the hammer from the federal government, and in particular in a Senate estimates hearing, they were managing director, of the ABC was quizzed about what some journalists had done on Twitter, even to the extent of liking a satirical piece around the government. To me, what this shows is one of the really difficult and fraught areas of being a journalist, particularly in the modern age where you've got social media, is where is that line between trying to remain objective and to take news at its face value and come across with legitimate credibility around that, balanced against, of course, what you might be interested in or what you might want to share that other people are talking about.
Again, are they on the ABC, to the extent that it matters, are they on the ABC Twitter handles or their private Twitter handles?
They're their private Twitter handles. Okay. But, of course, they're well-known as significant ABC journalists.
You could put a single line around, not with that usual disclaimer, you know, not, I work for so-and-so but not representing them. You could put that disclaimer around it. It really is a generational shift coming in some ways. It's a challenge not just for our industry but for many, that your right to an opinion is your right and your right to express it is your right. And the conventions are very strict conventions that we have always put around these things, including even going to protests sometimes, which you have to get, you know, permission for. There is definitely a generational pressure between those coming through in the social media age and those not. Tell me, though, how it played out in Australia. Were the parliamentarians on their case?
Well, the parliament, yeah, they were indeed, and they'd gone, you know, we've got some senators who I doubt have spent very much time on social media themselves who've gone forensically through a number of ABC journalists and their records on Twitter, and as I say, even down to the point of what other tweets did they like, to try and highlight the fact that these journalists are biased, therefore the ABC is biased, which is why you're being mean to our government, and that won't change anymore with the Four Corners show last night, which was a very detailed look at the Prime Minister Scott Morrison and his connection with somebody who's a main leader for the QAnon conspiracy theories within Australia. So it ain't going away anywhere soon. It just ramps up the pressure. I mean, you know, if you think it to a more traditional thing, you'd almost look at something like The Economist, which of course never publishes or very rarely publishes a byline of any journalist, so you don't know who the journalists are. On the basis of The Economist saying, well, we're writing this, don't worry about whose fingers have been on the typewriter, this is the opinion or the reportage of The Economist.
It's also an argument for transparency in some ways, isn't it?
Absolutely.
If people have particular affiliations or particular values and worldviews, get them out there and everyone can see where you're coming from.
Yeah, and let's face it, I've talked about this often, is the key role of a journalist is everybody's got an angle. It's your job to figure out what that angle is. And the same thing applies to a journalist. But as you say, that transparency, I mean, you want people to be passionate and involved in a community. You don't want to shut them down and say you've got to sit over here in a box and not embrace the rest of the world. I think that would be incredibly dangerous. And thankfully, we're not at that point here in New Zealand. But it does highlight, I think, particularly for young journalists building their careers to figure
you're
out
being watched.
You're being watched.
Yeah.
And you know, people can go right back to what you said as a teenager and use that against you, weaponise it if they think it's a problem.
All right. Now, your second one, Rupert Murdoch. What's happening with the value of his assets?
Well, I wanted to do two milestones. So I'll jump in one that I didn't flag with you before, but I couldn't help myself. This is the good milestone. 50 years this week since the New York Times started publishing the Pentagon Papers, one of the great breakthroughs of investigative journalism. This was a whistleblower who basically released a whole lot of information around the Vietnam War to prove that a number of presidents have known that the Vietnam War was unwinnable. So a really interesting milestone there, and a wonderful piece in The Guardian for those who are interested about the guy who
Daniel
was behind Lansbury. The leaks and how his 13-year-old boy was photocopying classified documents and his 10-year-old daughter was cutting the words top secret off each page when the police turned up, but for something entirely different, and so they carried on with this thing. Quite extraordinary. But the other milestone is the Sun newspaper. Rupert Murdoch, he's owned this since 1969. It's been the UK's most popular newspaper from 78 to last year, I think, when the Daily Mail finally knocked it off. Basically, Murdoch has written it down. It made a £200 million loss in the past year. And he's essentially saying that they don't believe the title will ever make a profit again. But the key bit into this is 80% of the loss is all around phone hacking. Costs and the charges and the compensation.
I was going to ask you what had happened to that part of the stable, because News of the World, of course, got shut down altogether.
Absolutely.
So the Sun, and is the Mirror has also? No.
Mirror's not him. I'm not quite sure what's happening.
So
with
this
the Mirror.
Is his other main asset in the British news.
But he's still got the Times and the Sunday Times, and they've still got marginal profit.
That's the popular. We're talking about popular media here,
absolutely,
rather than the sort of the elite side, the clientele, if I can put it that way.
That's right.
Well, that's interesting. But the suffering is a hangover from those.
It's an ongoing suffering, and clearly, what's happening is we know for media around the world, they're not going to see the advertising income come back. So that's why the Sun will never go back into a positive thing. But it's still paying the consequences of that appalling breach of ethics, you know, some 20 years ago or however long it was. So, you know, it's in some respects you would feel that justice has been served, dare I say it.
Did he say it's not wrong for this world, or are you assuming
No, there's no suggestion around that. I mean, a lot of what Murdoch does is with similar papers like The Australian and Australia is it gives him a power and an influence. So the value to him and his broader organisation comes from that, let alone the pure profit.
Very, very interesting stuff. Thank you. Is that Pentagon Papers, the other fascinating side of that story, which has been so well told, of course, was the first paper begins publishing and then gets injuncted, and then the second one starts publishing and gets injuncted. It's a piece of history that you never tire of, really.
No, absolutely.
Thank you so much, Andrew Holden, media commentator.